Definitely good to see each and every one of you. Glad that you're here and able to be here. This morning, and I mentioned this lesson, you know, time all run together with COVID and everything else we had, you know. I'm thinking 2 months ago, I mentioned I was working on this lesson, already had some notes wrote out on it. The lesson itself is titled, Racism is Ridiculous. And when I mentioned that I was working on this lesson, I was mentioning the women. And this is actually part of those atheist lessons that I was mentioning, that, you know, the atheists claim one thing, but they also claim another, and those things are in conflict. And we're going to look at that in just a minute. But, you know, the ideal of it just being a ridiculous concept, that's the whole point we're going to make, and how the scriptures prove that it's a ridiculous concept. First off, all racism is morally wrong. You know, racism, you take like definitions of it, prejudice, discrimination, antagonism directed against a person or people on the basis of their membership in a particular racial or ethnic group, typically one that is a minority or marginalized. Another part of that, you know, most definitions got like one or two parts. The belief that different races possesses distinct characteristics, abilities, or qualities, especially so as to distinguish them as inferior or superior to one another. Now, I've got to make a statement here before I begin, just like I did with, you know, the lesson on the women and how the original, like the atheists and some of those individuals that they support, demean women. They claim the Bible does, which it does not, but they do. All atheists do not believe this, and to be honest, it's just like a whole lot of people that claim to be Christians. Their level of knowledge on what they believe is very limited, and that's why they are led to believe what they're believing instead of going to the scriptures and actually gaining the knowledge themselves. There's a lot of people that claim to be atheists that have no idea about anything with the whole atheist group. They just take the name and think, hey, I'm just going to run with it. And that's a shame. But a lot of atheists today, and again, some of this is because of lack of knowledge, they actually take and celebrate Charles Darwin's birthday. It's a big thing. To them, they claim it's the atheist Christmas is the way they want to claim it. It's Charles Darwin's birthday. But here's what Charles Darwin wrote, and I had this in the ladies' lesson, you know, the lesson on women. Since humans evolved from animals, you know, Charles Darwin, and no one disputes that the bull differs in disposition from the cow, the wild boar from the sow, the stallion from the mare, as well known through the keepers of menageries, the males of the larger apes from the females, the same must be true with human females. Further, some of the traits of women are characterized of the lower races, is how he puts it without going into much details, and anti, therefore, of a past and lower state of civilization. So he's saying, you know, as we come up from animals, some humans evolve past other humans, is what he wants to say. Now, his so-called bulldog is what they call him, Thomas Henry Huxley, and I had more details in this in that lesson on women. He starts and he's writing to like some things that are said and wrote about, you know, from anthropologists, says, understood that women, Australian Aborigines, and I'm stumbling over my words like crazy this morning, and African people had smaller and simpler, less convoluted brains than did white men. And Huxley agreed with them, and he's promoting that. And like I said, he's supposed to be sort of like the watchdog or bulldog for Darwinism and Darwinism teaching. Both of these men are celebrated originally by atheists. Again, the atheists today are like a lot of so-called Christians today. They're riding the bandwagon but have no clue why they got on. They don't really understand the big picture on this. And atheism is very popular. And I think the reason it's popular is because now, you know, like what's being pushed is we just accept everybody because everybody can just do as they please. There's no God's rule. And that's why so many are on that wagon. The problem is they don't understand where it come from. They don't understand the whole startup and push of atheistic teaching to begin with. True atheistic teaching starts at this level. Yeah, and they don't accept anybody that's not a certain group or a certain level of learning and knowledge that they believe. And that's why they denounce God, really? Because of pride. They are so full of pride themselves, they think so highly of themselves and their knowledge, they look down on everybody and everything else, including like the lesson we had on women. God doesn't do that. And as Christians, we cannot do that. We need to understand that's the whole point with the women. In biblical teaching, women are actually held up on a pedestal. They're not put down under your feet. They're actually exalted, and men are to really take care of them. So here the ideal of different races being inferior, that's not in the scriptures. Jesus would have been talking to multiple races, multiple nationalities, multiple levels of whether rich, poor, whatever. He talked to them all. He socialized with them all. There was no difference in who he talked to and how he interacted with them. None. So let's take, and as we look at, you know, this ideal of all racism is morally wrong, you know, I've got four good reasons why racism is ridiculous. And that's what we're going to look at. Just the concept itself of being racist and having this inferiority type complex is wrong. It's just ridiculous. The first thing we want to look at scripture-wise is all mankind are made in the image of God. All mankind. So you can't have this ideal of racism and so forth. See, Darwin and all of them wanted to claim we come from animals. All right, yeah, there are animals that are stronger, faster, better than other animals that are in that sense. So he wants to tie that to mankind. We evolve from them. Some evolve further than others. That kind of mindset. That's not a true mindset. God made all mankind. All mankind came from two, and we're going to talk about that. We're all the same. There is no better or worse, as in we evolved past one or the other. So, you know, all mankind, we're all made in the image of God. Now, that point is more than just saying we're one. That's the ideal of saying we are like God. We are not like the brute beast of this world. We are made in God's image, all of us. Genesis 1, 26 through 27. You know, we've actually had this verse for quite a few lessons lately for other reasons. But verse 26 says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So we've already got the list of all the other creatures. We didn't evolve from any of those other creatures. He made man separate from all of that other list. And when he made man, male and female, all right, he made them both, he made them in his image. All right, so the ideal of us coming from these lower brute beasts, we didn't. We don't evolve from them. We don't evolve further from one another in that sense. He made them, he made us, and he made us in his image. So when we start with that ideal, we need to understand we are created better than all of those brute beasts. Acts 17, 28 and 29. Acts 17, 28 and 29. "For in him we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring," the children of God. "Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising." The ideal of creating gods, making gods, worshiping gods. And he says, even your own people understand that we are the God's offspring. So the ideal of us making these other gods, worshiping these other gods, that's ridiculous as well. But we are his offspring. We are his children. We are not the offspring of some amoeba, some lizard, some dinosaur, some ape, and we become this. No, we are the offspring of God, and in that we have the image or similitude of God. James 3, I've got the New King James Version at the top, and then I'm also going to read the American Standard Version afterwards. James 3, 8 and 9. New King James Version to begin with. "But no man can tame the tongue, it is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison," and that's where a lot of racism comes from, the old flapping tongue. "With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God." American Standard Version, again, verse 8. But no one among mankind can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse the people who have been made in the likeness of God. So there's, you know, racism, the ideal of how can you say that you are the children of God, you serve God, when you'll bless him with your tongue and then curse your fellow man. So there's a lot of racism right there, right? Looking down, speaking down about them just because of a color or nationality, or maybe even the ideal of their stature, you know, in society, how much money they make or whatever. It says, so here you take the same tongue, and that's why it's full of deadly poison, because you use it, you abuse it. And then you think you can take and praise God with the same tongue? You can't do that. That's the point he's making. James is making the point. You can't do both. You can't take and say you're holy and then use it for evil. You can't do both. And notice it says, you know, man is made in the similitude of God. We are his. So in that sense, all human beings, no matter color or ethnicity, are divine image bearers. We are all God's children. He made us. We are his. We are in his likeness. So to take and discriminate or put down another individual is really the same as putting down yourself, because we all have the same Father. The next big point we want to look at. God only made one race of people. Now, mankind has got it in themselves that there's a lot of different races of people, but God only made one race of people. Acts 17, verse 26, and I got Brother Terrence going to lead a one verse of a song here in a few minutes, but Acts 17, verse 26 says, and he has made from one blood every nation. One. Every nation. There's only one race of people. From one blood. So Adam, Eve, and then on down we could go, Noah and his wife. You know, all nations from one blood. We're one race. There's not multiple races. That's a man-made creation. That's a man-made device. Or we could even throw in, that's a device of the devil to take and destroy us. No difference in value, no evolutionary difference. And I had this in a lesson a while back as well, that even scientists will make this claim. All human beings are 99.9% identical. 99.9% identical. Why? We're from one blood. We're one race. We're created from one Father. You know, we got the one Father, that we're his children. It says differences in the remaining 0.1, all right, percent holds important clues about the causes of diseases. And then I've got some more on that here. Genomics is a more recent term that describes the study of all of a person's genes, the genome, including interactions of those genes with each other and with the person's environment. Now, I'm not going to read the whole rest because we've done this once before. But in other words, the differences in all of us in here, almost every bit of the difference, because it's just 0.1%, is really the environment that we've been raised in or been raised in over a period of time, like different places in the world. You know, the cold, you know, if you get to the farther ends of the world, the cold, or the middle, right on the, you know, the equator, the more sun you got. It's the environment that we live in more than any other thing makes that little itty-bitty difference. Another part here, you know, and they sort of tried to hush this up. I remember 2018, it was coming out in magazines, and they worked really hard to hush this up. Excuse me. It come out and was publicized that all humans are descended from just two people. And like I said, they wanted to hush that up fast. Scientists like, whoa, you know, these are scientists making this claim, but that really hurts and destroys a whole lot of everything else that we teach. And then it says a catastrophic event almost wiped out all the species 100,000 years ago. So there's some craziness that goes with it, right? Scientists claim humans are descended from two people. You know, and then again, part of that says all humans are descendants of just one couple. And then they want to claim live like 200,000 years ago. So, you know, a bunch of crazy to go with it. But they have the truth mixed in there, right? You know, so it's backed up by the scriptures. And we know Genesis 3:20. Now the man named his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. One man, one wife, one couple, and scientists doing all their blood work and checking actually proves that to be true. Now, they're off on these crazy numbers, but they are true about that, right? We're one race. This means the whole human race is one family. I've asked Brother Terrence to sing one verse in our supplement book of 112. We sung this song a while back. He's sung it, I think, since. But we're just going to sing verse 1, because it makes the point about this, but it also is going to lead into another point or two I got coming up. So we're going to turn over to Brother Terrence. 112, verse 1. Supplement.
In the body of the Lord, we are bound in unity, just as we are one with God. You are also part of me.
Some points in singing that, if we're able to sing this properly, the ideal of in the body of the Lord is talking about the body, the church in the Lord, and we're going to talk about that in one of our points. But also, you know, even at the very end, the ideal that we are one, and if we serve properly, if we have the mindset of Him, all right, we're one. And that's some of the points that I've got coming up still, is the ideal of why it's so ridiculous. God made man in His image. All right, we are all one race created by Him. But also, if we're in that image of God, if we are truly like God, then this mindset cannot be part of us because it's not part of God. And that's one of the points I'm making now, and I've got another one after this. God doesn't play favorites. Neither should we. If we are truly in the image of God, we have the mindset of God, we are being like unto our Father, He doesn't have this ideal of racism. We're all His children. He loves us all equally. Galatians 3, 26 and 28, a statement that Paul made, it says, "For you are all sons of God through faith," talking about those that have obeyed, but in general, we're still all sons of God. "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus." We're all one. Now, as we start talking about obeying the gospel, definitely within the body of Christ, there should never be racism, because we should understand we are all one. One point I would like to make here, anytime this word slave is used, we almost always want to go back to slavery in this country and think of individuals that were placed in slavery here. The majority of slavery in the world has not been just African individuals. A lot of the slavery that's talked about here were their own people. A lot of their own people that put themselves even into slavery. They were their own people. So, yes, there were some others, individuals, but slavery's not only been toward one race. It's been toward all races. And all races have looked down upon other races, looked down upon themselves. The same mindset is true. It's still a ridiculous concept that you want to look down on others. Deuteronomy 10, 17 and 18. Deuteronomy 10, 17 and 18. "For the Lord your God is God of gods, the Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality, nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing." Notice our God, our Father as one race, the Almighty God, the great God, the mighty and the awesome, who shows no partiality. If we're going to be like our God, we can show no partiality. Acts 10:34-35. Acts 10:34-35. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." Our God shows no partiality. Neither can we. James 2:1. "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality." James is actually getting on to them because some of these individuals are thinking better of themselves than others around them, to the point that they're not willing to share the love of God with other people. He says, "Do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord, with partiality." The last point I want to make, you know, the ideal of being in His image, our mindset, Jesus is everyone's Savior. Doesn't matter who you are, what you look like, where you come from, how much money you got, He's everyone's Savior. Everyone. Genesis 22:18. "In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Notice, all the earth shall be blessed. All nations, every kind of people shall be blessed. John 3:16-17. Now this is used often. You see it at these games, different things. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Again, the world. He's using that all the way across. Every nation of people, every kind of people. The opportunity is made for all people. No partiality. Jesus was sent. His blood was shed for everyone. Luke 24:47. "And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." But all nations, once again, doesn't matter what color that nation was. Doesn't matter how rich that nation was, how powerful that nation was. All nations. 1 Timothy 2:3-4. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." All men to be saved. All. Not a certain group, not certain people, not a certain hierarchy in civilization, but all. Romans 1:16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." So, you know, he's talking to a group of people there, and the majority of people that's within that body of people, he says, it doesn't matter who you are, Jew, Greek, doesn't matter. Salvation's for everyone. So, you know, again, racism is morally wrong. And as we start wrapping up, you know, John 7:24, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." So, you know, when you're taking and thinking about all the verses we looked at, a lot of verses have mentioned individuals that are willing to do the right thing. Not what they look like, not where they come from, not how much money they got, but their ideal of doing right over doing wrong. So when we judge, don't judge according to appearance. Don't judge because of color. Don't judge by how fancy their clothes is, who their last name ties them with. Judge them according to their actions, their deeds, what they're a part of. Because that's how God looks down upon them. Are they righteous individuals or are they wicked individuals? Not what color they are. Not where they come from. Mankind has got on this whole bandwagon and the devil is loving it. Racism is a device of the devil. We need to realize that. God created one race of people, one family, in His likeness to be holy as He is holy. The devil is fighting against the Lord. He does not love us. He hates us. He hates the Lord. And if he can cause division and hate to the point of murder and despising of one another, then when we despise other people, we despise God our Father, in which we are created in His image. And the devil loves every minute of it. This device keeps mankind from being pleasing to God. And that's why he loves every minute of it. When he can get us tied into that, he has got us. He just took one more individual from God and put him on his side. We cannot hold the name Christian and still be a racist. We need to realize that. That is not who God is. We cannot say we are his people serving him and being like unto him and be a racist. We cannot. Racism is morally wrong, and in the long run, it's just ridiculous. It's another thing made up by the devil and mankind, not of God. This morning, we'd like to offer an invitation to those that have never obeyed the gospel. If you have not obeyed the gospel, but you know exactly what it takes to become a child of God, and you know the level of commitment that takes, that lifelong commitment, and you're willing to make that, then do so this morning while you have time and opportunity. Or maybe you have obeyed the gospel, but you've turned back into the world, but you know that you need to make that right, and you're willing to make that right, then do so while you have time and opportunity for that. This morning, we'd like to help, and will, if you'll come forward as we stand and sing. Thank you.